You are tuned into the Business Elevation Show with your host, Chris Cooper. If you have a question or comment about our show, please direct your emails to chris@chriscooper.co.uk. That's chris@chriscooper.co.uk. Now back to Chris Cooper.
Hi, this is Chris Cooper, and with Mike Mooney, we're talking about reputation. And Mike, your book is coming out in the autumn on reputation. But what made you decide to write about it and make the point that it's time for a shift in how we perceive it?
Yeah, you know, Chris, this is the topic of reputations isn't a new one, right? I mean, not something that's just recently popped up. It's been talked about since the biblical days, and Roman authors and even Socrates talked about the power and value and impact of personal reputations. And social media channels, I mean, they have radically shifted our connectivity and ability to change perception for good or for bad. So back in like the mid-2000s, actually it's funny to think about when this is when message boards were the big thing. This is when Twitter and Facebook were really just emerging. There was this just really revolutionary shift in the connection between people, and there was a conversation that was starting to happen, right, between the branding and consumer, which really fascinated me, because if you think about it, historically, brands talked at consumers, right? It was a one-way sort of monologue. But as social media began to rise, the brands had to start talking with consumers. It really did become a conversation, and there was really a power shift in the relationship. And for me in the communications field and other communications experts, it really threw us for a loop, because it completely changed our crisis management plans, how we approached it. From the traditional standpoint, you know, we now found ourselves talking to individuals who had voices and social followings instead of just speaking to the masses versus, you know, through traditional media channels. So, you know, it really came down to how we looked at relationships. And when you take a step back, it comes down to people, right? Regardless if you were the corporation as an executive or an individual entrepreneur, it's our actions and our decisions, you know, what we say, what we don't say, that really makes the impact. So I started to look at how personal reputation management is approached. And, you know, today the majority of that work is built around search engine optimization. Right. Let's work with you to bury the bad stuff. Let's get that to page two or three on the Google search page, you know, because we know statistically, you know, more than 80% of people aren't going to click beyond the first page. Right. But when you look at the personal impact and the situation of reputation management, SEO doesn't get to the root of the issue. Right, it doesn't prompt the why did this happen? And, you know, I've experienced firsthand through my career the impact of reputation attacks. And that's where I started looking back at these experiences I've had, these stories and examples that I really believe would drive home, you know, the message and the value of looking at our reputations in a more proactive and value-based way.
Mm. Now, I read in your... You very kindly sent me some chapters to your book, and I read in there a lovely quote. It was by Morten Albach, and I just thought it might be worthwhile sharing it, because it just resonated with me somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. I found this is a really great quote, and I'm glad you brought that up. I found this in a Forbes article that is actually written about the reputation economy. And here's what Morten said. Today we serve two and only two masters, revenue and reputation. The trick is to position your brand and build your reputation in the sweet spot between capitalism and humanism. What do you think about that, Chris?
I think it's a great quote, and I think it's, you know, I like that link between, you know, capitalism and humanism, because it, there's a lot of people today thinking about things like, you know, sustainability, how they come across to their employees and how well they take care of their employees. And people are interested in these things and attracted to whether they buy products from companies based on it. And I just think, you know, finding that sweet spot, but it's also, I guess, it's got to be an authentic sweet spot, hasn't it? Not an engineered one.
Well, it has to be. It has to be authentic. And the idea that these aren't two disconnected thoughts of business, revenue, reputations. you know? You know, Chris, let me ask you this, because speaking of that and revenue and reputation, something in your world, right, I would have to imagine your reputation is important to you. And one of the ways it probably pays off would be, you know, referrals, right?
Yeah.
As you're trying to help leaders to, you know, get more things done. So, I mean, how important are referrals to you in your business?
It's incredibly important. It, you know, makes all the difference in the world. I have had a lovely situation recently where I was with invited to something, and there was a very interesting organization that I could see we could have a synergy with. And incredibly, there were two other people who'd worked with me who, I know this guy had already had one referral about me, but there was two other people who'd worked with me in the room, happened to be in a conversation with him, and they both decided to refer me to him at the same time. And you know, and it was wonderful. So I had three people, one I'd worked with for 5 years, and these two other people who were highly respected. And, you know, as a consequence, we are embarking on a great venture together at the moment. That's come down from reputation. So it's everything, really. When, you know, in a marketplace where there may be quite a lot of, you know, competitors who are doing, you know, learning development type programs and engagement programs and team development and training, actually your reputation is essential.
Absolutely. And you hit it on the head right there, Chris, where think about the opportunity that just came your way. Right. I mean, the phone call you get from somebody who says, "Hey, Chris, I need somebody for this speaking opportunity. What do you think?" You know, and the beauty of it is, in that case, because of your reputation, you're getting those calls. You know what's coming your way. But if you don't have a good reputation, if you don't have any idea of where that is, how many opportunities are you missing?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, that's something that is hard to know, because you'll never know. People won't refer you. So let's flip the question on this again and say, so Chris, have you ever been asked to refer somebody? Has someone called you and said, "Hey, I'm looking for someone to fill this role or this job. Can you help me out?"
Yes, I have.
And what goes through your mind when you're going through that mental Rolodex of people?
Well, it's very interesting. There was I don't mind sharing this. There was one. To do with this show, actually, it was an area, and I knew a couple of people who'd been on the show could have done this piece of work, but there was one, maybe the natural choice, who actually hadn't been quite as he'd not thanked me for being on the show, and I'm not used to that, and he hadn't followed up on some of the people who'd followed in to ask he'd asked to link in with him afterwards. He'd not followed up with them as he'd promised on the show, and so of course, you know, who do I go and refer to? I refer to the other one.
Yeah.
So you know, he lost that work, and there's a little bit, you know, when I see him, there's a little bit of a cloud over the way that I perceive him as a consequence of the way that he behaved.
Absolutely, and again, you know, reputations are built in our day-to-day. It's not, you know, sometimes people think it's in a defining moment, right, in those Hollywood scenes where everybody's watching and it comes down to the wire or the buzzer. No, it's in our everyday. It's in the things that we say or don't say. It's in our follow-up, like you just pointed out there. All those actions, the behavior, over time, all add up, you know, and that's the idea here, Chris, is for leaders and entrepreneurs, you know, anyone who's looking to, you know, improve themselves, quite honestly, is helping them develop the awareness and strategies for building and protecting their greatest asset. You know, I mean, it's our reputations are working for us even when you don't know it. Whether, like I said, it's for opportunities or perhaps second chances, right? I mean, we're all human too. I don't want to sound like we're up on pedestals here. You know, we're all human and make mistakes. And again, that's where your reputation can give you that mulligan or that hall pass to say, you know, that's kind of out of character for Chris. Something else must be going on right now. I'm going to give him another shot.
Yeah, absolutely. But you were in your definition earlier. I forget what you said exactly, but the definition I've always had around reputation is, you know, what people are saying about you when you're not in the room.
Yes,
and you know, you do you do if someone you're not quite sure about, you'll maybe talk to others or you want to find out more about them. But I think also with somebody who's got a very strong reputation is when they say something, you give them a premium, don't you? You listen to that more intently, whereas somebody who doesn't have such a good reputation, you're going to discount some of what they say.
You will. Absolutely, because there's credibility that comes along with having a strong reputation. You know, and the other point that I'd make too, Chris, you know, think about this is, you know, when you're referring somebody to somebody else, you're putting your reputation on the line too.
Mm.
Right? Think about that. I mean, and that's why we've got to be careful too with who we refer and really, really think about that and how it reflects on us. Because if you refer a dud to someone, that person may not come back to you a second time to ask for a referral. I probably wouldn't. But if you send them a rock star, your phone's going to be ringing off the hook. Hey, can you get me someone else like this? Because of now your reputation.
Absolutely. I had a lovely situation this week, actually. It was a bit cheeky of me, but I was asked to speak. I was asked to speak at an event, and I said I would do it. Then I found out that Leicester were playing Arsenal in the first game of the season. I was promising to take my son and someone else to them, and it was going to be okay. But because of Sky, they changed the time. And I said to the client, "Look, you know, is there any chance that I could maybe move to another night?" And I explained the reason. We had a bit of a laugh about it, and they sort of said, "You know, sorry, that can't happen." But then a change happened. Someone dropped out on the Monday evening at this week event. And they rang me up and said, "Look, you know, would you fancy moving to Monday?" But it does leave us with a problem on Saturday. So I said, "No problem. What are you looking for? I'll find you somebody great for Saturday." And I found them somebody great for Saturday. They did a fantastic job. I did a great job, and another colleague did a great job. And actually what it did, it's built the reputation even more. Yeah. And I got to go to the football. So it was a win-win for everybody, really.
It's a win all around. That's fantastic. Yeah. But again, a great example there, you know, of how you serving somebody else but doing it with care and sending them the right person is only strengthening your resource. Now, I'm sorry, your reputation, but not only perhaps as a speaker, but as a resource, as a credible source for help and information.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what we'll do as a consequence of that is we'll do a lot more of that for them next year, helping them source for their events as a consequence.
Absolutely.
So it's been great. But yeah, you put people forward who will enhance the reputation, and you know, if they can do a better job than you, that's great.
Absolutely.
Not less. So tell me, when I read in the chapters of the book, you talked about one degree of behavior, and I think that's worthwhile just exploring for a moment. What's that about?
Yeah, so, you know, I am really big on visuals, Chris, you know, and coming up with just some ways to illustrate the story and the idea. I love things like that. And for me, you know, the one degree story is one that focuses around the compass. Right, so I mean, in my opinion, the compass is one of the greatest inventions that mankind has ever created. Right, I mean, for centuries it was the tool and lifeblood of explorers and trailblazers, you know, who were setting off for new adventures and meeting new people. So, I took a step back and said, okay, let's imagine you're heading out on the trip, and you've charted your course on your map. You have your compass in hand, you're ready to go, but there's one problem. You suddenly realize that you're one degree off the proper heading of where you're supposed to be going. So if you think about it, one degree doesn't sound like a big deal, right? You know, it's just a little off course. You're not heading in the completely wrong direction, right? Mm. But the impact of that, by being off one degree over a short period of time, is something that won't completely ruin the trip. I mean, realistically, and I've done the math on this, that, you know, if you were to walk for 1 mile at one degree off your plotted course, you'll end up roughly 92 feet away from your location. It's not too bad. 92 feet, you can still see, you know, basically where you need to be. You can reset the map. You can get back on your trip. It's an easy reset. But that is this idea there is it's a short-term perspective because it has an easy solution, right? Short period of time, one small mistake, I can easily correct it. So let's shift gears for a second. Think about if you were going on a longer trip, right? Now there are bigger implications, right? So the example I use in the book, and for those in the States here, you know, I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. So if I were to fly from Charlotte to Los Angeles, and I'm 1 degree off on that trip, coast to coast, suddenly I'm nearly 50 miles away from LAX. I'm not even in the same zip code. I am way off course. I have no idea where I am. I've got to really work and hustle hard to get back to where I need to be. And for me, when I heard that story of the 1 degree and thought through it for reputations, you know, it really made me look at how a decision or act, you know, that might be 1 degree off may not hurt us in the short term, but over time, if you continue on that course and you continue in the vein of the action and behavior, you're not going to end up anywhere close to where you thought you'd be in life, or more importantly, with what your reputation should be. So it's really about looking at your reputation and the things that we do on a daily basis from a long-term perspective. Like you mentioned earlier, right, the Tony Robbins quote was fantastic. You know, the 10-year view, we have to look at things in a long-term view, which is kind of tough for us these days because we're so used to, you know, instant gratification and short-term bursts of movement and decisions.
I just think what came to mind for me was an example of somebody I know who they established a reputation for being the last person to buy at the bar.
That's so true.
You can always rely on them to be, just not quite around for him to have to buy. And so we got a reputation, even though he probably didn't know it, for being a bit tight. And I think, you know, over time, was surprised when he wasn't getting invited out quite so often, and didn't really understand why. And I suppose that's like it builds up over time. It's just a slight different behavior flaw, but it makes a difference in the long run.
Well, it does. And it's funny because it wasn't just one, I'm sure, in your group of friends, it wasn't just one person who noticed it, right? I mean, right. It was probably the group of you. And at some point, it was probably a topic of conversation. Now, fortunately, that's among friends, right? Now, what if that's happening in the workplace? What if that's happening, you know, in other areas where you're working? There could be larger implications than not being asked out for drinks with the guys, which is still a, you know, that's kind of a black card too. You don't want to miss out on that.
I've probably got one or two friends now are listening and are thinking, is he talking about me?
And then you say, maybe I am.
Right, so hopefully I get a flurry of drinks the next time I go out.
And say, hey, you know what, we're going to switch this around. Whoever was going to buy last will buy first this time.
Right, we're going to go to commercial break now. And after the commercial break, I want to know, you know, from you, Mike, what do you do when you're facing a potential disaster? So we'll be back with you all again in just a couple of minutes.